Hi, Brooke. Welcome to the Self-Made Happier. Today, guys, I have Brooke Size of Evolve Wellness and Counseling here with me, and we're going to talk about your body and happiness, your physical body and happiness. So, Brooke, welcome. And would you introduce yourself and just say a little bit about what you do?
I'm Brooke Size. I have a private practice in Prairie Village, Kansas, right on the state line of Missouri, licensed in both states as a licensed clinical professional counselor, do somatic therapy. I do relational therapy, but a lot of trauma work, a lot of developmental trauma, table touch trauma work. So that is my main thing. And then I'm also a functional nutrition provider and work quite a bit with gut health, the gut-brain connection, and hormones. And
nice.
I'm glad to be here.
It's all connected, right? It's we cannot deny that we are an entire system, and treating one part means that the other parts get affected even by the treatment. So I love that you have this whole human, whole body approach to what you do. I speak a lot on this podcast about happiness as a frequency that we tune into. And of course, we are the tuning rod, right? Our physical body. And I know you work very deeply with the body as an intelligent system. So when I say that frequency that we tune into, how does that land for you? What is your somatic experience perspective of that thought?
Yeah, I think of that and will respond, you know, kind of from like the felt sense that I have with it. And then also from like kind of how we can speak about it and come to understand it. No state is a constant state. So it's kind of a capacity that the nervous system can access. And I like to think of it more as this more neutral. It comes from more of a neutral place in our system where we get other things kind of out of the way. It's like coming back home. And if I'm being more sort of clinical about it, we could say, you know, there's three different states that I talk about a lot with clients. I mean, there's a whole range in each of these states, but we talk about ventral vagal, sympathetic activation, dorsal vagal. And happiness is kind of in this ventral vagal place, which can also be thought of as like where we have presence, where we're in social engagement, where we feel like we're not in a lot of, we're not in fight or flight, but we're kind of alive, we're present, we're not asleep, we're not dissociated, but we're here and we're more in this kind of neutral, connected place.
Yeah, I just recorded a whole bunch of episodes for my other podcast, which is about business. And we talked a lot about nervous system. And I call that the green zone of being in that really nice flow state. And yeah. I do think happiness is a good connection. I think it's easier to connect with your happiness when you are in that green zone of connecting happiness. Now, I also hear people when they're talking, they use the language of, I've lost my happiness, or I can't find happiness. It's like this, yeah. I imagine it is like their lost pet or something kind of wandering around and they're going, I don't know where to find it any longer. From your work, where do you see happiness getting lost in the body?
It's almost like we gain other things, you know, we go into protection, we go into a survival state. I always hear people talk about sensation in the chest, like it feels tight, I feel guarded, and it feels like it's lost. And when it feels like it's lost, that's a really frustrating place to be. I don't think of it as lost. I try to talk to people about like it's there, but we have to kind of come back to regulation and like almost like remove some barriers that have shown up and make us feel like we can't access that.
So another thing I want to bring into this part of the conversation is because a lot of times the remedy that is prescribed to people is you just have to be positive. You just have to do it this way. And somatic experience doesn't ask you to force anything in my understanding of it. And in the practice that I utilize it in Gestalt, it's not about forcing positivity. And I think there's a lot of people out in the world right now who are kind of weary of being told that just being positive will fix all their problems. Where do you land on that particular subject? Like, what are your thoughts around the positivity epidemic?
Thinking about mindset can be helpful, right? But if I don't feel it in my body, if I'm just like trying to be positive or say the positive things, that for a lot of people, I mean, it's not to say that that can't work in many ways. That's not really what we're talking about with happiness, right? Happiness, it's offline because our nervous system's busy managing threat. And if we can get back to kind of more like a neutrality, or a presence, that's where we can find it. And then there's that tone of pleasure or expansion or things that start to feel really good and feel like happiness. But I know what you mean. Like, this is a conversation that comes up a lot with clients, is if we're used to living in a more activated place, that can go to fight or flight, but it can also go to excitement. And for a lot of people, like, excitement, moving forward, productivity feels like happiness, but I never really feel like fulfilled. And that fulfillment feeling or that satiety is like more, I think you can weigh in, Kim, but like what I would say is more towards happiness.
Well, I think that so many times we adopt what the collective consciousness or what the collective culture that we live in perceives as happiness. And in our world, where we're living in the United States in 2026, the attachment to happiness involves a lot of things like money and productivity and perceived success of what the world around us, and then all of the things that I know you deal with in your counseling career that happen from our childhood and what our parents kind of give us from generational trauma from all of the things that have happened previously, right? So it gets really wrapped up in us being really lost in not knowing what truly makes us happy. When I started this podcast, I wanted to talk about happiness. That was the ultimate goal of this. And when I started talking to people about what their perceptions of happiness are, every single person tried to define happiness a little differently. And most of them are like, I may never have thought about what is happiness. How do I find it? What is that? What is this elusive thing that we all say we want, but we don't clearly know how to define and how to even make contact with? So that becomes a whole question, right? What do you even think happiness is? And how do you notice it? The reason I wanted to have you on this podcast is because I think the place you find it first is in your body. It's a sensation, but if you're so disconnected from feeling, it's really hard to identify what happiness is. And you're right. We tend to get, like, my clients get excitement and fear wrapped up with each other because they seem kind of similar. It's sometimes hard to define of, am I really scared of it or am I just excited for it? Yeah, it's confusing. Okay. And I'm assuming that in your work, that's what you do, is you help people sort all of those little threads out so that they can determine what that is for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people are surprised when we talk about excitement and fear as like, that's the same place in the nervous system. There's some different things going on. There's a different mindset. There's a different meaning. There's a little bit of different chemicals happening, but like same place. So one can quickly turn to the other. And happiness, it's in that more ventral vagal presence place. And I can say for me personally, I mean, I was totally like, I'm a sympathetic activation, go, go, go. You know, I've made jokes about like, once you finally find your presence and your peace and your happiness, so what happens with my business? You know?
Yeah.
Because I was in that place. And the other thing that I know I noticed and I see it with clients is sometimes at first it feels boring. Like I was like, why? I feel like nothing's happening. Like had to find this kind of neutrality that felt kind of like something was wrong or kind of boring if we're not used to being there, and then eventually get used to it and start getting all like the juicy good feelings out of it, which is more the happiness space.
Yes. I just listened to a whole thing of for another professional that I belong to her programs, and she was just talking about making your business boring and how we could all use a little bit more boring in our business. And I'm like, you know what? There are times that as a person who loves to adventure into new things, I can always create excitement, but creating boredom is a lot harder ask in that relation. I want to switch over a little bit in our conversation and talk about somatics and gut health, because if we think about it, and here's how I kind of relate these two things together. Well, first of all, your gut health is part of your body, right? And it's part of a system because there's all kinds of little creatures that live in there that aid us and help us feel good. And they're connected to our energy. And our energy is oftentimes wrapped up metaphorically, especially with our gut. So we have butterflies in our stomach when we get excited, or we have our stomach churns when we're afraid, or we have will and determination where we pull from that chakra to get stuff done kind of a situation. And then we have root and foundation and all of those things that wrap up into gut health. And what role does gut health play in your access to happiness and emotional regulation?
There's a million nerve endings in the gut. And when you say all those phrases, you know, we are literally that language. It's metaphorical and it's also like real. There, yeah. It's actually really great phrases to explain what's happening. Anytime we're in excitement, anxiety, fear, anger, our gut, and which is all like we were talking about in that sympathetic activation place, fight, flight, a little bit of fawn, you know, there's different things in there, that the gut will twist, spit mucus. It totally gets activated. It's literally doing that in those states. And so when we say that, that's happening. And then all that bacteria in there, in our gut microbiome, that bacteria will respond to all the sensory information coming in and share that information with the brain. And anything coming from the brain will share that with the bacteria in the gut to reflect back how we feel. And there's this like direct communication happening there that then impacts our mood. And so if we're in, you know, and it's normal through the day to get stressed or things like that, but if we end up in that place and we're never really settling in our system, we're never having the time or taking the time to settle, it's hard to access happiness because when we're in that place in the nervous system, it's not going to happen. A lot of people will feel that in their gut. When I'm in the office and we're doing touch work, sometimes just having a hand on someone's gut can feel really calming. For some people, it feels activating because they're holding a lot there. But there's just a lot of somatic response that happens in the gut because of all that internal communication. And when somebody feels happiness, usually they're describing like, oh, it feels like my stomach is calm and quiet. It's relaxed. It's, I feel like space. And probably their digestion gets better because their nervous system is in a more settled, regulated ventral vagal place.
Absolutely. The whole system is in harmony. This is kind of what yeah. I would describe that as. Everybody mm-hmm. is doing their job and there is nothing exceptionally upsetting and then that opens up the door to experience a different sensation that sometimes feels odd and weird to us. So that right. happens. Right. I know to me sometimes it's like, oh my goodness, this feels different. Back to that boring, right? We don't recognize yeah. boring as a good thing. It's there probably is much better for our digestion to be a little bit on the dull side. So to me, you have to practice a lot of these things. Sometimes you need help in that practice. Sometimes you have little practices that you can do. I have some self-regulation practices I love to do. I have one that I call recalibration, where I spend a lot of time just I lay and I just do the bilateral stimulation in my own mind of thinking of one side of my body to the other, and I move all of the way up through my body. And it's a practice that helps me reach that more neutral state. And I'm curious for you, is there any simple somatic or body-based practices that someone could try to start better tuning into themselves, to tuning into their body?
I'm going to say one thing around a practice that also involves the gut, since we were just on that topic, and then I'll throw in a few more. One is when one is trying to figure out what to do about a situation or how to, you know, a decision they need to make, putting a hand on the chest and one hand on the gut, or you can even just do two hands on the gut, because there is so much information we can get to really listen, put hands there, take some deep breaths, and ask the question again. Like, is this what I really want? That can be a way to kind of also take in some information from the body. It's just an interesting practice. We don't always get all the answers, but it's kind of an interesting practice to see what information does come up. And then a lot of times at the start, it's like, where is my body? How can I just come back to it? Because our mind will take us all over the place. It's like this challenge of being human is that we're animals, but we can tell time. So yeah. We're in the future, we're in the past, and it's like a total practice just to come back and be like, where is my body now, right now? So what I have folks do is if I'm going to throw this in because if there's a lot of activation going on where it's like, I don't, you know, I'm on a scale of 0 to 10, I'm past a 5 on feeling. And by activated, I mean like kind of stressed or my chest is tight or I'm just like, I don't feel like I can just get back to it. Like deep breaths aren't going to work. I have people take one hand under, one arm over, drop their chin and curl forward and just squeeze as small as they can get. Curl in. You can feel your abs get engaged when you do that. Like all the muscles can squeeze legs together. Just contract. And then release by 50%. Release by 50% more. And then release all the way. And then just move a little. You know, there's no rule, but just like stretch. Kind of feel that you can take up a little more space. And then track and orient, which is what if folks have a dog or a cat or an animal, they do it all day. To regulate and find presence and notice what's happening in their environment. And so you can give yourself a task, like find 5 different colors of green. If we had green right now, now it could be look for some things poking out of the snow. And moving the head actually stimulates the vagus nerve, which can help the parasympathetic system, which helps us get back to presence and the here and now. Usually when folks do that in session, even if they're still activated, like just doing that brings it down a couple of degrees and then they can find their breath and then check in with like, can I feel my body? What's happening in my body? Such a starting
exercise. I love that. I'm going to adopt that. I love that practice. That's a really nice thing to be able to do if you're in a small business owner. You can do it at your desk. Nobody knows what you're doing. Like it helps you. I love things that I can do to help regulate myself and others without it being something that's super obvious to the world around me. My hypnotherapy training really helps me be able to help others do that as well as assist myself in that practice. So, Brooke, how would somebody reach out to you? I know you are definitely looking for new clients to assist people with nutrition and gut health and the somatic experiencing, I think, is also another thing that you do a lot of. Where can people find you and how would somebody go about working with you to dive deeper if you found in this at all helpful today?
I have quite a lot on my website. There's blogs and information on there as well. That is evolvewellnesskc.com. There is a link on there if somebody was ready to chat and see if it's a good fit for them that they can book a 20-minute complimentary call. I use those for anybody interested in any service. They're especially helpful for functional nutrition since that's like a very specific approach and make sure that feels like a right fit. They can also reach out at my email, brooke@evolvewellnesskc.com, or my call the office. And all of that's on the website, all the contact info.
I love that. And I'll link that in the show notes as well. And I do want to say, I have worked with Brooke, and I will say she is kind and understanding, and she truly listens to you. So if you are a little nervous about bringing topics that maybe are uncomfortable for you to talk about, Brooke definitely opens a very safe space for you to be able to discuss things with her. So I really encourage you to reach out because I think you'll find that she's a pretty awesome human to work with. So thank you, Brooke, for hanging out with me today. I appreciate you coming in and talking with me and with my audience about this. And somatic experiencing and gut health are both such an important part of being in alignment with that frequency of happy. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it's an honor.